This is Fall Into Wellness, a limited series podcast sponsored and produced by Night Fairy Wellness. Host Sharon Elise speaks with influential speakers and partners of the Fall Into Wellness Retreat, offering insight and wisdom into the journey of each guest. Each episode will leave you feeling inspired and ready to join us on the journey to whole body wellness.
Welcome to another episode of the limited series podcast, Fall Into Wellness. On today's show, I have the pleasure of speaking with George Stills, better known as the Retirement Guy. George is a financial consultant whose aim is to empower individuals to make informed decisions and to take effective action towards meeting their retirement goals. George, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me on the show today. I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate you even more for joining us at the retreat this fall. Thanks so much.
Sharon, it's my pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to participate in your wellness seminar coming up later this year, and I appreciate that opportunity.
Well, thank you. So before we got started with the interview, I introduced you briefly, but very briefly, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got started in your journey?
Absolutely. I believe it really stems from a legacy. My father was in the financial industry back in the 70s, and of course that DNA stuck, and it allowed me to find my true calling and purpose, if you will, as far as being in the full service financial industry. So right around 1990, oh Lord, what year was it? 93. Gee whiz. I started with the full service financial industry, started working as a consultant and as an advisor. So it was really something that was calling me, honestly, as I mentioned, you know, just fulfilling my purpose and being able to help people at the end of the day is what really drew me to this career in this industry.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I didn't know that your father sort of gave that torch, so you passed that torch to you for the financial aspect of it. So that's awesome to learn that you're sort of continuing the legacy that your father started, providing financial education to the community. That's super exciting.
Absolutely.
How did you get started? Like, where was the beginning of your journey, would you say? Was it in college, in high school? How did you first step into this financial sphere?
As far as this industry is concerned, in a prior life, if you will, I was in the music industry, and really wanted to do more as far as finances are concerned. I'm a true believer in legacy planning, obviously financial literacy, you know, building wealth. And one of those ways to go about it is through, you know, obviously saving and investing money in the equity market. So I got involved in the industry, as I mentioned, back in the early 90s, and really catapulted into looking at real companies in business to make money, the Apples of the world, the Microsofts of the world. You know, even back then it was Oracle and some healthcare companies. But the idea is, you know, how do I, you know, take what we have and, you know, compound that? And investing seemed to be one of those key ways to making that happen.
Oh, awesome. So what would you say has been your biggest obstacle or greatest lesson that you've learned so far in your journey?
You know, the biggest obstacle, you know, I look at it as an opportunity. The challenges, you know, we can either face the mountain and either decide not to scale it or to, you know, really conquer that mountain. So, you know, what are my biggest obstacles? Honestly, I have to look behind me to see which ones I've already defeated. You know, it's really it's a hard question to answer because, you know, I look at an opportunity as that, you know, whether it be an obstacle or an opportunity, it's just something that we have to face, slay, and keep moving on. Honestly, there's probably thousands I could think of, but, you know, in the business that I work in, one of the biggest obstacles is trust. I will say that. You know, you're sitting down with Mr. and Mrs. Client, and you want to build a rapport with them. And an obstacle, especially when you're dealing with people or money in particular, is making sure that you can build trust, empathy, and making sure that you let people know that I'm here to do, you know, the right thing for and by them, and to build that. So, you know, once that obstacle starts to deflate, if you will, it's no longer an obstacle. It's a bond. So that's how I look at that.
No, I love that you brought up the point of trust, right? Because particularly in our community, trust surrounding money and finances is a huge thing. I know growing up, my grandparents did not put their money in the bank. I think my grandmother kept her money underneath her mattress for a very, very long time. And I feel like a lot of people still are experiencing a lot of that, this distrust for the financial sphere. And I think it really is due to like a lack of understanding and education. And then another point that you brought up that I love is about the rapport, right? We care so much about our money and our finances, and it's connected to, for a lot of people, their sense of self-worth. And so to be that vulnerable and that exposed to someone, it does take some getting known to and some building of trust so that they can expose themselves in that way. I know for me, myself, this has been a year of financial wellness for me, because for so long I was naive about budgeting and saving and credit. And, you know, I lived, you know, majority of my 20s damaging a lot of my financial credibility, which I'm now restoring in my 30s because I had a lack of understanding. And so that was one of the reasons why I really felt it was important to have you on the show and even as a speaker at the retreat, because there still are so many of my peers and so many people in general that don't have this financial education and financial literacy in their toolkit. And I feel like it's so important to overall mental health and well-being in general, health and wellness in general, to have this understanding of how our finances are connected to our health.
Absolutely. It's funny you mention that, because I think about how often do people consider the health of their savings account and how that affects your overall physical health. I mean, it's no secret that the feeling of anxiety can arise when you're faced with financial challenges. So there's definitely a connection there.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I thank you for saying that, because yeah, for a lot of people, you know, I think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and, you know, the basic needs being met is food, shelter, and water. And so, you know, that some of those things can't, you know, be provided for if our finances aren't together. And what we're seeing is a lot of people are struggling in that fear, as you said, when their savings account isn't in order. And so thank you for mentioning that. And so in line with that, why do you feel financial health and wellness is important? You mentioned it briefly, but is there anything else you can speak to in terms of why financial health and wellness is important to the overall well-being?
Yes, absolutely. The first thing that comes to mind is when you're financially whole or healthy, if you will, spirit, mind, and body, you're able to make better choices for yourself, for your family. You know, when your finances are in order, you know, I'm thinking that you're able to do things for yourself and your family. You had mentioned budgeting, you know, so, you know, once you understand how the tool of money works, you start moving into an area where you're making smarter decisions. It could be as simple as going to the grocery store and buying food that's healthy for you, because you're able to afford it. You know, instead of buying, you know, food that might be a little less expensive, but because you got to eat, you know, you buy it, but it may not be as healthy for you. Well, in turn with, your financial health, you know, if you're able to afford, you know, fruits and vegetables, obviously you're feeding your body better. And with that being said, when you're taking care of your budget, when you're handling your bills and you're paying them on time, when you're saving and investing your money and that money is growing for you, You're able to, you know, look to maybe buy a house and build equity, or you maybe want to invest money in the stock market, or invest money in your 401k and build up that that asset for you. It's definitely connected when it comes to our finances and our well-being, I believe.
No, I love that you said that. It's so funny because I did an interview with my line sister Asia, and she and I were talking about that exactly. Like, sometimes the go-to is to just go and get some fast food, and it's easier. You think, you know, I can just go spend this $20 and get some food, but you can go spend that $20 and go to the grocery store and get more volume for your buck, and drag that $20 out a little longer. So maybe you, instead of just having that one meal that you went to the fast food restaurant and got, you have maybe two or three meals that you can, like, spread out over the course of a few days, and now you have some greens for you to make a salad, and then maybe you can saute that spinach and just do different things with it, and people don't think about how they're investing that money. And I also love that you refer to money as a tool. Like, oh my God, it took me so long to get to that space of recognizing that it was a tool, because, again, it was so connected to my self-worth, and I just did not recognize it as a tool and as this energetic tool that I can, you know, tap into and draw to me energetically, depending on how I'm feeling energetically and feeling in abundance. I was living in fear of not having money, and so I wasn't attracting more of it. And then the moment I opened myself up to understanding it and gaining more financial literacy, I saw my relationship to money change in a tremendous, tremendous way. And so I love that you brought those points up.
Absolutely. That's great. That sounds like you, sounds like something else I'm going to be touching on in the near future. And it's all about empowerment. So I love the fact that, you know, you're definitely breathing and living in that space.
Oh, thank you, for sure. So what is one resource, book, or tool that you've used to help you in your journey?
Currently, I just finished reading a great book by Mr. Chris Hogan, H-O-G-A-N. It's called The Everyday Millionaire. And believe it or not, it's a goal. It's an achievement anyone can achieve, according to Mr. Chris Hogan. It's really about discipline. It's really about, as you already mentioned, budgeting. It's about, you know, being consistent. Obviously, it's probably the biggest thing that I've gotten out of that book. But just like building a wall, you have to do it one brick at a time. And same thing is true with saving, investing, whatever your number goal is. If it's $1 million, if it's $10 million, if it's $100,000, whatever the number is, you have to build it $1 at a time, one day at a time, one brick at a time. And something else I'll be speaking of a lot in the near future at our retreat is not only about consistency, but you know, it's you have to have a goal and you have to have an action plan. Same thing is true, I believe, in any aspect in life. You know, you have to have a vision for it. And once you can capture that vision and write it down and have some goals, and it's all about just applying yourself, daily, weekly, monthly, annually, and just walking towards it. As I mentioned, building your wealth, building your assets, building, your money, your investments, you just do it. You know, $1 at a time, just like you're building a wall one brick at a time. So as I mentioned, the book Everyday Millionaire speaks about a lot of different applicable aspects that you can use. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Anyone can, you know, apply this. But just that, you have to apply it, you know. So that would be something that I would encourage people to look at, Everyday Millionaire by Mr. Chris Hogan.
No, thank you so much. I'm not familiar with that text, but I definitely am going to add it to my reading list. And I love what you're speaking to in terms of life planning. And, like, we plan out, you know, our personal lives or our professional lives, but we forget to plan out our money. And that's why I'm learning that budgeting is so, so important. And I love what you said, like, it's a dollar by dollar thing. You know, I think that people have in their mind that you reach $1 million and this is get rich quick scheme. And it's like, no. One, because the universe, God, is not going to bless you with more if you can't handle what you currently have. So if, you know, your bank account is negative, or you leaving 30 cents in your bank account, God is not going to give you more because you're not being a good steward over what he's already given you. And I'm speaking to myself because I was that person, you know, wanting more and wanting to exist in that space of abundance, but just being very childish and naive with my finances. And so we have to get this understanding that, you know, we have to be disciplined in not just our finances, but in our mental health and our spiritual health, so that all these things can work sort of interdependently of each other and sort of help you to open yourself up to being in abundance and being in flow to receive more. So I love that.
Well, you know, it's funny because you hit something right on the head. There is a parable about a master that gave three of his servants talents. Now, mm-hmm. Of course, back in the biblical time, talents were another name for dollars, but he gave one servant five talents, he gave another servant two talents, and he gave another servant one talent. The servant he gave five talents to, that servant went out, invested that money, and took five talents, and it became 10. The second servant had two talents, invested that money, and those two talents became 4. But that last servant who had one talent went out, dug a hole in the ground, and hid that talent in the ground. So when the master came back and came back to account to his servants what they had done with his money, the first servant who had five now gave him 10. He had basically said, great job, you know, you faithful servant. You've done what you've needed to do, and you've showed me a return on my money. And he said the same thing to the second servant as far as the two talents turning into 4 talents. You know, you were faithful with what I gave you, and mm-hmm. now enjoy the joy of your master. And now that one servant who hid, or I should say dug a hole and buried his one talent, when I thought of that, I first thought of, well, that's one way of wasting money. You know, mm-hmm. you have something and you spend it frivolously. You know, you can either dig a hole and hide it, or you can spend it on something that is not going to give you a return. But the idea is something that you already hit on. You know, we're given this gift, we're given this money that obviously comes from our source, which is God. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? And we want to make sure that, number one, we're great servants, because the three principles I'll speak to about at the retreat in more detail, it's about knowing, number one, our source is God. Number two, being responsible with that that money that we've been given. And number three, making sure that we are handling it responsibly. So, you know, you've already definitely touched on, you know, what we are supposed to be doing with our money when it comes to having it make a return, which is obviously great.
No, for sure. And a little off topic, I'm wondering, what do you feel is the number one, or what do you find is the number one area of concern or fear that people have surrounding their money?
The number one fear, never having enough. You know, the number one fear, you know, people are obviously fearful of running out of money. You know, there's a couple of things that happens to a person when they retire. They either outlive their money, because they may, you know, longevity may be in their family, so they may outlive their money. Two, they may get sick or hurt. And obviously, if that happens when you're older, you know, there's medical expenses that can definitely, you know, take some of that you've built up away towards medical expenses. You know, so those are a couple of things that people are obviously fearful of. But I believe, and this is the key point of any speaking engagement I give, I truly believe people don't have a money problem. people have a money management problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really goes back to something that we already mentioned at the beginning of our talk about budgeting. So, you know, as long as you're budgeting your money, being responsible with your money, managing your money in certain ways, if you will, you know, there shouldn't be any fear, obviously, because number one, we know that it all goes back to our source, which is God. And of course, there's no fear when there's that.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And again, you're speaking to what I was speaking to earlier about just being in abundance. And like, there's so much abundance that I'm now seeing that once I let go of my fear of not having enough, that like, money is finding me. I don't even have to go and necessarily look for it. It finds me because I'm no longer in fear of not having it. And so I can't wait to hear you speak at the retreat. I'm so, so excited. And so what would you say is a quote or a mission statement that you live by?
You know, the first thing that came to mind is such as a man or a woman thinketh. He or she is. So, you know, it really goes back to how we think about ourselves, how we think about what it is that we're envisioning. So if you're thinking, hey, I want to be empowered with my finances, you know, you have to give it some thought first. You have to envision what that is that you are looking to achieve. So such as a man or a woman thinketh, he or she can achieve. So if it's a financial goal, you know, put that energy out there through your thought process, and then we'll talk about the action steps to make that happen. So that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yes, we think it in our mind, and then we create it into reality and bring it into the physical realm. And I think I was saying in another interview, again, with Asia, how we get so stuck in our minds that a lot of people live there, right? And then they don't ever come back down to earth into reality to, like, create what it is that they're thinking about, or they're living in fear about something that has already happened or going to happen, and it's preventing them from actually moving forward and actually existing in that space of flow and in abundance. So, yeah, if you can control your mind and control your thoughts, then that's one level of it. It's then about coming out of that mind space and actually implementing it and taking action so that you can plan accordingly to execute on the goals that you're thinking about and the vision that you hold it in your mind. So I love, love, love that. Is there anything else that you want to share before I let you go that you haven't already discussed, how people can connect with you outside of the retreat this fall, anything that you want us to know about you and your business?
Sure. As you already mentioned, I'm the retirement guy. My focus is helping people with not only financial literacy, but legacy planning, money management, as well as building wealth. And so you can reach me by G-S-T-I-L-L-S, G-Stills, at Allied Wealth Partners, with an S. G-Stills at AlliedWealthPartners.com is my email address. My direct phone to my office is 973-265-1239. And, you know, I'm really excited about this wellness retreat coming up. I'm really excited about the people that are taking time out to think about wholeness as far as mind, body, and spirit, and as well as their finances. And so I'm really excited to be able to get in front of some people that are serious about you know, being whole financially as well as spiritually. So, you know, thank you again for the opportunity to speak. And it's going to be a great time. So we look forward to it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to do this interview and then for joining us for the retreat. I'm so, so excited. I'm so grateful to Tyrone for connecting us. I'm just looking forward to continuing of this partnership, and definitely you helping me with some of that retirement planning and estate planning, because that is what I'm manifesting for myself in this year of financial wellness. So thank you so much, George.
God be the glory.
Amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Fall Into Wellness Limited Series Podcast. For more information and to register for our retreat, visit us at nightfairywellness.com/fallintowellness.